Part 1, Chapter 9, Divine Alchemy and Ourselves. It is possible that we have given insufficiently concrete guidelines in our introductory observations on the coming new man, as observations on earth circles, archetypes, natural forces and magnetic effects can indeed be rather confusing. We therefore hope that the contents of this chapter will connect you more closely than ever, as concerns your innermost feelings with the values and realities which the Brotherhood wishes to imprint on your consciousness. We will now approach the state of being of our dialectical human life wave in a different manner, in the hope that the facts will speak to you more than ever and urge you to the requisite reaction. Underlying our wondrous planet, of which we know but a minute part, rendered disharmonious by man himself, there is a divine alchemical formula in a continuous state of application. This is a formula established by the Divine Spirit regarding a manifestation in, by, and with primordial matter. Primordial matter fills the great infinite intercosmic space, the eternal sea of divine abundance of life. It is the universal materia magica by means of which every manifestation is made possible. Every conceivable and inconceivable element, substance, and force is inorganically present in the materia magica, and manifested in this universal sea of living waters is that referred to as the great breath. It is the unknowable spirit which moves and regulates this flood of waters and drives it to manifestation. When the great breath touches the waters of primordial matter, that which is known as the original soul emerges, i.e. the formula, the alchemical plan of manifestation. So the soul is a principle of manifestation in primordial matter. This definition, however, is insufficient to outline the nature of the soul, even approximately for our purposes. We therefore define the soul principle as a fire kindled by the spirit in primordial matter, in the materia magica. We know that the soul is a fire, and therefore speak of soul fire, serpent fire, the fiery principle of the soul. If we examine this fire principle of the soul more closely, we discover that in our field of existence, the liquid fire of the soul is a highly rarefied elixir, a gas, namely hydrogen. Hydrogen is found in an infinite number of variants, all, however, possessing the same fundamental principles. You will have learned at school that hydrogen is contained in all composite substances, that it burns in oxygen, that it produces the greatest combustive heat of any element known to us, and finally, that it is highly explosive. If you consider this, you will recognize into what a highly critical and hyper-black magic phase mankind has fallen, a phase Atlantean mankind also reached shortly before its demise. As you know, the scientific magicians of our time have produced the hydrogen bomb. The hydrogen bomb embodies the sole principle of destruction, of self-annihilating explosion. Whoever engages in this shakes the foundations of the root substantial space even more than in the case of the atom bomb, and can devastate the entire universe. If anyone still doubts that mankind has entered the eschatological period, he can now exchange doubt for certainty. We have already mentioned that hydrogen occurs in an infinite number of variants according to the rate of vibration in and by which they manifest themselves. This explains the almost infinite variety of revelations and manifestations in the universe. Furthermore, we can understand that a fiery soul principle can alter its nature and, by consequence, its vibration. In this case, the original result of the soul vibration is replaced by an utterly different result. When the original soul, the firstborn, relates in perfect harmony to the great breath, its divine creator, the revelation will bring forth what the universal doctrine calls manas, the original human being, the original manifestation of man. But clearly our soul is no longer an original soul. Our soul fire is a hydrogen principle of this earthly nature. If our souls were original in the true sense of the word, a pre-fire principle, ignited in the Materia Magica by the Great Breath, then our manifestation would give divine evidence thereof. Our soul, however, is a split-off from the original soul, a sunken soul principle. This soul principle is a hydrogen formula perfectly attuned to this nature and fully explicable from it. This is why we are called material born, and our manifestation is mortal. If we want to be lifted from this field of existence and reborn as new, primordial people, this soul principle, born in matter, must be liquidated in an original soul, born again of the Great Breath. This is why Jesus Christ draws attention to transfiguration, the rebirth of the soul, and this is why those reborn according to the old divine fire principle are called twisseborn. Whoever is unable to celebrate this birth cannot behold the kingdom of God. Unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus, in his conversation with Nicodemus, alludes here to the very essence of all transfiguration. Every pupil in the school of the Golden Rosicross, every candidate for the path of rebirth, must primarily be reborn with respect to the soul fire. His soul radiations must again radiate and vibrate according to the ancient, divine formula of the Great Breath. The original substantial concentration of his microcosm must be vigorously moved by the Spirit. This storm of the Spirit, this Pentecost of divine fire, must wipe away the earthly hydrogen principle so that the old field of manifestation may again radiate in ineffable splendor. Whoever does not long for this will not behold the kingdom of God. Whoever does not wish to die with respect to the I should not join our school. Every mortal of this nature is a living hydrogen bomb, propagating itself by explosion into a hell of horror, until the whole, collectively, is red hot, like a fiery furnace, devouring everything. However, let us consider this subject soberly and objectively so that we recognize the truth of the testimony of the universal doctrine as a breathtaking fact that we can no longer deny. When the soul fire is ignited in primordial matter, a hydrogen concentration occurs, conforming to a certain formula. As soon as this hydrogen is liberated in primordial matter, a second element, oxygen, is immediately roused from its latency. We know that hydrogen burns in oxygen and becomes fire. Thus, when the concentration of hydrogen makes contact with the oxygen, a combustive process arises. Likewise, in our body, a combustive process arises through our respiration. Due to the contact between the oxygen of the atmosphere and the hydrogen concentration of the soul. Now perhaps you will remark, doesn't this combustive process lead to a hydrogen explosion, which in turn gives rise to tremendous and devastating destruction? Are there not perhaps certain natural limits which check this process, keeping it within certain bounds according to a certain plan? Indeed, such limits exist. The natural limits of the combustive process resulting from the contact between hydrogen and oxygen are formed by a third element, namely the element nitrogen. In your youth, you perhaps learned that nitrogen is a combining gas, but this definition does not sufficiently describe its agency. Nitrogen contains two powers, a retarding power and a power of momentum. Both powers originate from the formula underlying manifestation. The role of the power of momentum is to complete the plan of manifestation without interruption. The role of the retarding power is to keep the development of the plan under guidance and prevent the combustive process from becoming an explosive one. To sum up, a process develops out of combustion, out of a fire, through contact between the two elements, hydrogen and oxygen, while a third element, nitrogen, allows the process to continue according to plan. This entire process gives rise to a revelation, a manifestation, wherein the first cause, the plan itself, can be recognized. This manifestation occurs with the help of a fourth element, known to us by the name of carbon. Through carbon, things are molded into form, into compounds, Carbon is a crystallizing power. It is the basis for and of all organic substances, and is the element by means of which all imaginable and unimaginable forms can be produced. So there exists 1. A fundamental fire element, hydrogen. 2. A fundamental inflaming element, oxygen. 3. A fundamental manifesting or molding element, carbon. The plan underlying these three cooperating elements, the nature, quality, and the respective divine or undivine origin of it all, becomes evident through the two powers of a fourth element, the controlling element, nitrogen. The retarding factor and factor of momentum of nitrogen ultimately determine the result. Divine alchemy is carried out by means of these four primary elements. Each cosmos and microcosm exists out of and through these four elements. As every original soul lived from the great breath, according to a divine plan, it is evident that each archetype of that plan, as a living formula preserved for every entity, has its habitat in the earth circle of the archetypes. For we belong to systems that live and originate from the composite planetary system we call the cosmic septenary. Our sevenfold mother planet preserves all of these divine treasures in her womb, from which we must bring them forth once more. Therefore, the candidate must, like Dante in his Divine Comedy, descend into the earth circles to be led to the universal light by Beatrice, the Divine One. After all that we have tried to explain to you, you can perhaps understand that the heart of the earth consists of a concentration of hydrogen, whose radiation ascends from one of the poles as the old original spirit fire and spreads in our atmosphere. There exists, therefore, a testimony in the clouds of heaven, a living radiation of Christ, which can be imbibed respiratorily from our atmosphere. Thus, the radiation field of the Brotherhood is not merely a symbol, but a living reality and total antithesis of our common dialectical state. Every pupil can now understand why we have entered the period of the last days and why the call, "The time has come," is both a warning and a jubilation. Simple reflection and the facts themselves prove this to us. 4/5 of our dialectical life atmosphere consists of nitrogen. Is this nitrogen in its original state, the divine controlling element? Certainly not. It is the dialectical controlling element set in motion by and through an unholy process of manifestation. This great controlling power urges us, drives us towards death and destruction. With satanic persistence and delayed action as in a slow-motion film, this enormous power drags us along in the incessant rotation of the wheel. And in this state of bondage, we consume the nitrogen of dialectics in the form of proteins and other animal and vegetable products. We speak of clean nutrition and of clean air, but just as we live and breathe in this undivine field, we also eat of it ultimately only to suffocate in nitrogen in a process of continuous dying. We now know how imperative it is to live, breathe, and partake of the four holy foods in the original field of the Christ Hierophants. It is to this wonderful feast that all of us are called.